rifling through those long boxes.
It's gotta be here. Aha! Here it is!
And bagging those books.
I'm out of bags and boards again.
Welcome to your home for Star Wars comics.
The Cosmic Force Podcast.
A Youtini Podcast Network production.
And now, here are your hosts, Parker Kirk, Caleb Laminek, and Jacob Bosch.
Hello, welcome to The Cosmic Force, a weekly breakdown of the latest of Star Wars comics brought to you by the Youtini Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jacob, joined by my good friends, Oz and Caleb. This week, we're diving in on the High Republic Adventures issue number 5, as well as Maul, Black, White, and Red issue number 1 to give you our in-depth reactions and analysis. This week, we are brought to you by Youtini Dice Wars, a RPG podcast brought to you by our good friend here, Caleb, that is coming back shortly. But with that out of the way, let's jump into it. Oz, Caleb, how are y'all doing this week?
Doing good.
Really good. You know, school's almost over at my job here, so we're about to enter the long doldrums of summer where we can do some real work on campus, so that's nice.
Oh, look at you. Looking forward to summer break so you can work more. Love it. but yeah, things are good over here. It's getting warm in Texas. My son keeps saying, it's summer. I say, you have no idea what is coming for you.
Just wait, kid.
Yeah, I'm like, bud, it's 85 degrees right now. It's nice out. So yeah, we're getting a sneak preview of that, though.
Fun. Well, sounds good. It is. I think it's been the mid-60s this week. It's been wonderful.
Especially, it wasn't until I was like out of college and in my mid-20s that I finally like realized, like, okay, like I can look forward to certain seasons and have like an opinion on them now. Like normally, like you need a couple years for you to like live through them and have some experiences with each one before you can really say, oh man, I love fall, or you know, spring is my favorite. Yeah,
fair enough. So we got a little bit of things we're reading. For me personally, not a whole lot. I've made like a couple more chapters progress into Living Force. I did get my signed book plate for pre-ordering the book today. That was pretty nice.
Yeah, mine came in yesterday, and John Jackson Miller has one of the coolest signatures I've ever seen.
Yeah, my one memory, I met him at a convention in 2021, right after like things were kind of opening back up for the first time, and I went there and brought my KOTOR Omnibus, which had like just released.
And did you have to, how much back pain did that bring you?
Shoulder pain. I brought a tote. And then a copy of A New Dawn, which at its time was like the peak pricing for it. It was like $200 at the time. And I like have him sign the omnibus first and then the A New Dawn next. He's like, you just got all the $200 books, don't you? I'm like, yeah.
Man, that was such a great time when that book was worth a lot. Because now it's worth like $40.
Yeah, like 60 or 40, somewhere in there.
But at one point, it felt good to have an expensive book that I wasn't going to sell anyway.
Yeah.
Didn't they like bring you back into, because I realized, oh, wait, we need a picture of the omnibus?
He like chased me across the convention floor to be like, that's the first one I've signed in person. Can I like take a picture with it? And I'm like, yeah, sure. So
awesome.
Cool dude. But yeah, very nice signature.
Yeah. I'm also finally making enough progress to that book, The Living Force. I have like 50 pages left, so I'll be done.
Oh, you're way ahead of me.
But, well, I didn't have graduation to contend with.
Yeah.
Or finals or whatever. But I'm really enjoying it. I've become a slow reader of late. Caleb, what 1,800 page behemoth have you been working through this week?
The Grapes of Wrath.
Okay. So that's a shorter one.
That's a shorter one. It's actually... I've never gone through, I've never read it before. I guess my high school teacher missed that one there. It's really good. It's like really, really good.
I love when I read, you know, an American classic and I'm like, whoa, this is great. And everyone's like, yeah, that's why we have every high school student in America read. I have also not read Grapes of Wrath, for what it's worth.
It's surprisingly poignant, you know, to what's going on in like current day, you know, culture of America. It's like strangely like, you know, anti-capitalist to a very high degree there, you know, about people suffering from a institution that they can neither control nor even understand.
Based.
It is 100% based. 100%.
That's what's up.
It's surprisingly excellent. I will highly recommend it to everyone. On the fun side of things, though, I was inspired by one of the two issues that we read for this episode and went back and reread. I'll let you guess which one inspired me. Darth Maul 2017.
Ah, nice. That's the Colin Bunn miniseries.
Yes, the 5-issue one. That was like, I was struck by just by the first issue. It's like, wow, the art in this is fantastic. The layout and the action is probably some of the best we've seen in canon Star Wars. And then it's
Frost.
I think so.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Like it, he did. There's some really amazing like paneling layouts and like way that they have action, you know, in that. Luke Ross was the penciler. Was laid out in there. You had Cad Bane and Aura Singh make an appearance as well. So, it was really. It's a really great read, and I'm now realizing, hey, if I see this in trade form, I should probably pick that up and not just do it digitally.
Yeah, I remember really enjoying that. Picked it up the other day just to like kind of flip through it before Black, White, and Red, even though I knew they weren't tying in together. But I remember really liking that. It's also cool because it's got Rathars in it, which were at the time still pretty new from The Force Awakens. Unless they're a Legends thing, I don't know. But I think
no, they're not.
Okay. It's really solid. It's also that first issue with the Rathars is a funny one because it's been adapted into kids' books in I think at least two different. Little like compilations of as a story called Darth Maul and the Rathars. It's like, why did of all the canon stories,
it's a strange one.
Yeah, I don't know, but good miniseries.
Also, the first comic book appearance of Cad Bane. So, like, there's I think issue 2 is like $200, something like that.
Really? Yeah. I knew he was cool. They showed up. I didn't realize that's his first comics appearance.
Even in Legends, he wasn't in comics.
I think so. Well, I'm not entirely sure, but I. That is, to my understanding, I want to say a yes. Because there weren't that many Legends comics published in like the Clone Wars timeline after the TV show came out.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point.
I threw in a little last-minute curveball, I guess, because when this episode comes out for you all, it'll be directly before Free Comic Book Day. This episode should come out on May 1st, that Wednesday, and May 4th, the Saturday, in addition to being Star Wars Day, is Free Comic Book Day. So I'm sure if you are listening to the show, you are more than aware that there are two Star Wars comic book issues coming out for Free Comic Book Day. But if this is your first Free Comic Book Day in person, my advice, go to comicshoplocator.com, put in your zip code, and you can find out comic shops near you, and it'll specifically tell you which ones are participating in Free Comic Book Day. Then just check out their like Facebook page or whatever and see what the details are for the day, get your two issues, spend a little money, usually they'll have some sales going on, and have a good time. Go pick up the Star Wars / Darth Vader issue and the Young Jedi Adventures issue as well.
I am so excited for the Young Jedi Adventures book. I mean, I'm sure the Star Wars Vader one will be cool, but we're getting Nubs in comics.
Nubs, Court, it's going to be a good time. I'm a little concerned. I'm scared that my shop is not going to have the Young Jedi Adventure ones. And I could have asked and they would tell me, but like their Dark Horse ordering has been weird lately. And I'm just kind of worried. So we'll see.
Maybe they'll run Dark Horse Free Comic Book Day on, May 11th.
Yeah, they'll be a little behind.
Yeah.
I'm going to be out of town for that for a wedding. So I'm hoping I already looked up. There's a comic shop like half an hour away from our hotel. Ooh. Like, am I going to have to get a $20 Uber to go get some free kids comics? Because I'll do it. Let's be honest.
Right. So that's a little rough. I don't know if if my shop lets you get more than one, I'll grab you some extras. But otherwise, I'm not sure.
It's tough. They put limits on them. But anyway, everyone, go out, get yourself some free comics. Support comic book stores. If you're listening to a comics podcast, you probably already do.
Yeah.
But do it. Support them more.
For sure. Yeah, get your sales. Get a nice little trade paperback or something for yourself while you're there. Good time.
But well, 2017.
We do have two issues to talk about today. The first one is Higher Public Adventures number 5. written by Daniel Jose Older with art from Elisa Romboli and colors from Michael Tia. So, Caleb, what happened in this issue?
All right. We didn't talk about Adventures Part issue number 4, which is the first part of this two-part series here, but a rescue attempt on Denai Hill Prison, the Corvix Vorn, has left the prisoners holding their breath for rescue, as the warden has lowered the shields, keeping them away from the vacuum, as now the camp ejected them into the cold darkness of space. Lula, Zine, and Court have landed and begin to fight their way through the prison to provide support to Master Cantum Sai, who is leading the fighters against the outer defenses. The battle goes against the Nihil, and the warden issues a retreat, leaving the nameless hatchlings out in space as well as the Jedi prisoners. But due to sabotage, the entire barge that he escapes in is crippled and then destroyed. But the Jedi are rescued by some heroics by the ground forces. Meanwhile, back on Iriadu, Zine feels that she must leave Lula so that she can return to being her Jedi Knight self. But Lula is already burning her robes and proposes to Zine that they spend the rest of their lives together.
There we go.
Great issue.
I mean, really, it was like a great issue. I read it and I had to like go back and reread the previous issue, and then I reread that issue again. There's some like, it's a really tight and well put together kind of two-parter here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I enjoyed it.
So we're 5 issues in, and it feels like this book is taking it really slowly. Like, we're spending a lot of time getting the gang back together. Because when we started this Phase 3 comic, we were kind of hit with the information. We knew that Buckets of Blood was missing in action, and at the time we thought probably dead. We didn't know that Farzala was supposedly gone, and we knew that Lula was gone. Anyway, now we're all finally in the same room, so I think now we can really kind of get started on a new story. But it's been cool getting all the pieces back in place.
Yeah, I will say I feel like more's happened in this, or it feels like more's happened in this one than the Marvel run, I think.
I could agree with that as well. Like, yeah, a lot has happened, but it's just like it's taking a while to sort of get to our new starting point, which is fine. It's been a great opening arc, or two arcs, however you want to classify it.
Right. That's fair. Yeah, no, I enjoyed getting the gang all back together. I also like, I really like every time, because it doesn't happen often in the High Republic comics especially, we don't see the like RDC in action very often, so it's always fun to kind of see like the actual like military force involved with what the Jedi are doing.
Right.
So we got, you know, again, like last issue or issue 3 or whatever was the first time we had seen Admiral Crenara, who debuted like within the first like 10 pages of Light of the Jedi. So
yeah, and I mean, if we're talking about cameos, Adi Sunzi is still hanging around.
Adi Sunzi is dope.
Has she had any dialogue?
I think she had a few one-liners, both in this and Shadows of Starlight number 1.
It feels so weird seeing her. For those who don't know, I know we've mentioned it before, Adi Sunzi is from the VR experience, Tales from Galaxy's Edge.
Yep.
There's a High Republic level mission. I don't know how to classify it because I have not played it. I know her mostly from the Character Encyclopedia and, of course, Chronicles of the Jedi. I assume she's featured in that, Jacob. I don't know. You're the expert.
Yeah, she is.
But she is our purple alien wearing a hood. And yeah, she's kicking ass. But it's like, it's a crazy pull that she's in the story now. And I hope she becomes like a true part of this comic.
For sure. Yeah. No, I liked her as well. This whole kind of interaction was interesting just with everyone getting spaced. I did like, it felt like it was a call out to The Last Jedi, where like his internal monologue is like, you know, hey, the vacuum of space is brutal, but I'm a Jedi, so I should have a few more seconds to act, basically.
Yeah, it was 100% Mary Poppins, Leia, like, guys, it works, don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's fine.
You know, it's space, there's no pushing or, you know, pushing or pulling that's even more effective out there.
Right.
Yeah, just cool action sequence. That I was just like flipping through here, and I mean, for as much as Star Wars is about space, we rarely see characters out in space. Like, even right. seeing them in, we talked about it with Keeve when she was in, wasn't it Keeve who was in a spacesuit recently?
Yeah.
Yes. Like, she, she was getting through the blockade. Yeah.
Right. And we saw Ahsoka in her live action series in space. It's just always fun when we actually see them do some like sci-fi stuff like that.
I was about to say, like, the first time we got someone in space was episode 8, I think. Someone getting spaced in Star Wars.
Yeah. Well, unless you count when they're on the asteroid in episode 5 and they put the masks on.
Yeah.
That's about as close as it gets.
Does General Grievous going out of the ship in episode 3 count?
Maybe, but, yeah. Well, true, true. But I feel like since he's a robot, he didn't show any, like... Yeah. I feel like Star Wars physics is trying to subtly say, like, listen, it's not, like, real human space. It's, like, a different space.
It's Star Wars.
Exactly. There is no physics. It's just whatever you want it to be.
It's vibes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, like, this entire, like, back half, it's a great issue, but it's kind of hard to talk about, because, like, all the setup and all, like, the plot was done in the first issue of this arc, so it's like, and now we get nothing but payoff all episode long.
I do think the whole, like, interaction within, like, the villains of this issue is super interesting. I don't remember the warden's name, so I'm just gonna call him
I don't think they even gave him a name.
The warden is evil, crazy... I mean, as all Nile are kind of to a certain degree, but has vented a bunch of nameless babies. And then Drigget, who I love from, not Defy the Storm, Escape from Valo, kind of is just off running with him trying to survive, where I guess we're led to believe there's no way he's dead, that Niv Apruk
Niv Drindau is his first name.
Yeah, Niv Drindau. I guess we're technically led to believe he's dead, but there's no way he is.
No, that's not
absolutely not.
Yeah, he like ran down to the hold to like get his last nameless eggs or whatever. So,
and it's not like I know I can't say it in my thing, but like it didn't look like the barge that the prison like immolated and blew up to teeny billions of pieces. It looks like it got crippled, but not fully explodified.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen crazier stuff survive. I mean, look how many Jedi survived Starlight. I think Niv Drindau's still around. Like, you mentioned Escape from Valo, which is where we first saw Niv Drindau and Drigget Parse. This kind of continues their story. It's also a great kind of coda to Midnight Horizon, which obviously that was like the end of the phase 1 story for this crew. But especially when you get to the big emotional climax here at the end. Zine says, Master Kanna might not be very happy about this. And Lula's like, oh, I have a feeling they'll understand, because this is like a direct mirror of Kanna's size flashback story in Midnight Horizon where they
ran away down to circus.
Yeah, they run away to the circus and have this brief love affair, but ends up returning to the Jedi. And so I think we can assume that Lula knows that story, and she's like, nah, they'll get it.
Right.
And it's a beautiful in there. I don't think by any means we have seen the last of Zine and Lula and their interactions with the Starhopper crew, but
absolutely not.
And they're moving to a new phase.
But the start of the last issue had her burning her old Nihil gear and her old helmet and that whole stuff. So, you know, it's like another mirror of her now burning her Jedi robes and her Jedi supplies here.
But they're they're not hers. She's literally like, it seems like, where'd you get those robes? She's like, I just found them in like a closet or whatever. You know, I need the symbolic thing, but I didn't have my robes. So we just burned some.
Yeah.
Just kind of wasteful, you know.
It's an interesting progression that I didn't even think about that, but you're right. That's how issue 4 starts. So she first had to like leave that part of her life behind, and now she's realizing she still doesn't really know who she is. And so she can't just be told, well, you're a Jedi. I wonder if she figures out and decides later on that maybe she actually is a Jedi.
Maybe she just likes, like, I'll do Wayseeker. Is that allowed? Can I just go straight to Wayseeker?
Every time someone talks about leaving the Jedi Order, I'm like, you don't have to leave.
Yeah.
go chill for a while.
It's just take a sabbatical.
Yeah.
Like, you know, is this like a job you have to put your 2 weeks in, you know?
It seems like it's pretty free-flowing, especially, I mean, right now, everyone's in chaos. I guess they did call all the Jedi back. I wonder if that applied to Wayseekers. I don't know if they have touched on that.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, oh gosh, shoot, because...
Orla's the only Wayseeker that I'm...
No. Vern was a Wayseeker, right?
Vern
Eshra? Didn't
I don't think so.
I think she technically was a... Did she ask me a secret at the beginning?
Maybe she is now. I don't know. It's been a whole like 3 weeks since I read Defy the Storm. I don't remember that. But regardless, I don't like. I said we're not done with these characters. I think that. I guess we can't see her lightsaber here, but I don't think she burned her lightsaber. They'll be back.
Yeah. Definitely. I think the next issue will definitely get like a Farsala flashback to how he wound up in Nihil, bondage. I think
I could dig that.
Okay, Vern Eshra, I did check. She was Tales of the Light and Life is when she became a Wayseeker.
Okay, now I vaguely remember.
So, although that was before the recall, and it seemed like when she came back, I the vibe I got was that they might not let more people become Wayseekers,
right? So then to start, they're like, what do they do when they don't let you? Like, just you're not a Jedi anymore?
Yeah. It's like, oh, you're not going to let me take PTO? I guess I'll quit.
Yeah. Okay, well, so Wayseeker option maybe still on the table. But not sure. Right.
Yeah.
I was about to say, like, I feel like there will be some sort of, like, we'll have, like, a little cooling down period, a couple flashbacks, but then there will be something that will bring Lula and Zine back into the story. Probably having to do with Crix.
Yeah, Crix is not gone. He's still around.
He just got busted.
Yeah.
Out.
Because, he's going to be a mole potentially get used by, who was it that came and got him?
Crash.
Oh, Crash. That was in the Crash one shot.
Yep.
Slash two shot maybe.
Double one shot. We don't know what this
Crash. The Crash double shot.
Bang bang.
What's the upcoming one called?
Crash and Burn.
Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah.
Go read Crash Landing. It's going to be important for this, and buy a single issue copy because we don't know what the trade situation will be.
I'm thinking it's going to get collected because it feels integral to High Republic Adventures in a way that the other one shots were not.
And it's also written by the same author, so that helps a lot.
For sure.
Like, the Life Day special got roped into the other trade paperbacks, right?
The Free Comic Book Day did.
The annual. The one with Cantum Size story.
I think Life Day ended up in Han and Chewie.
You're thinking of the Bake Off.
The Bake Off, the one, sorry.
Did get into the big trade paperback.
Mm-hmm.
But any other thoughts on this issue? One quick thought, I'll just answer my own question. I thought the art was fantastic. Alisa Romoli is not an artist I believe we have seen before.
No, I don't think so.
But I really dug this, especially the opening page, the way she draws Farzala in particular, something about it I really dig. And just a very cool looking issue. I wouldn't mind more consistency issue to issue on the art, but mm-hmm. I like it.
I think it's interesting also, like, when you have like a different penciler and a same colorist on someone that's done a lot of the similar issues, and the colors feel very different. Like, especially with like the Ishnar and Farzala stuff. It feels like something that would not fit with like Arby Tolbow kind of type style.
Right. Yeah. I at first assumed there was just a full different art team. I know very little beyond like the basics of how art gets put together. Like, I know that someone draws it with pencils, then usually someone else or the same person traces it with inks, and then someone else comes in and colors it. But obviously, these people are professionals. They tailor their colors to different styles.
Right.
That's unfortunately the best we could do in our discussion.
It looks sick. That's about as educated of a take I can give you.
I can never say when something looks sick.
There are times I feel like, especially with High Republic of Interest, where they will turn the art over to a new artist. It takes like a while for your eyes and for your mind to adjust and like, oh, these same characters just look very different than how I've seen them before. But the art here is definitely doesn't. I've never had that problem with these couple issues by Alyssa's art here. They feel like, you know, Zine and Lula and Farsala. Like, it definitely doesn't. It took no time at all for me to recognize these people as these characters.
Yeah. Also, another standout moment is the spaced nameless. This like husk of a nameless creature was pretty gnarly.
Yeah.
It looks like it's like starting to like decay and break apart in space.
Yeah. It was way more hardcore than I was expecting one of these adventure issues to go. So I dig that.
Yeah. I'm very curious if anything with like, you know, this run will kind of give us more clues or hints as to what the whole like plague thing is happening right now in the greater story.
So that's from Defy the Storm.
Right.
And we have not seen really mention of that anywhere else yet. Did we in one of the other comic series?
There is a Easter egg people interpret it from Path of Vengeance to be related, but that's the closest thing we have right now.
Yeah. So maybe it'll come into this. It doesn't, I don't know. That does feel like the next big thing.
Right.
Or I guess what would be called Wave 2. I don't know if they're still calling them waves. But it doesn't feel like this story is going that way, but it probably is.
Yeah, so. You never know. Like, one other thing I really enjoy we haven't talked about yet is, what's it, 5AG3 or whatever?
The little robot guy?
The She-They Chaos Droid. Chaos Droid. That's silly, goofy. Go with it. And then it blew up a ship. So, like...
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I thought this is what you guys wanted me to do. I just left some explosives back there. So...
Right. And, like, super confident about it. Not even like, oh, did I do something wrong?
Just yeah.
Like, yep, this is what... And brought home a friend.
Yeah, it's like HK-47 if HK-47 was a silly, goofy... A little guy.
It's like, you know, his DNA got passed on to Chopper some way, I'm sure.
Yeah, so it's Mr. Bones, basically.
Yeah.
Definitely.
All right. Well, any other thoughts on High Republic of Interest before we move on?
Nope. I'm digging it.
Cool.
All right. Actually, just scrolling through one thing, we got to see another look at Buckets of Blood without clothes on here at the back to tank at the end.
Classic.
You got a pretty good shot of his feet too earlier.
For free?
For free.
Okay. All right. Well,
that's a good place to end it.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Dice Wars, a UTE role-playing production. That is the show where I and several other writers for UTE are playing through the 4 published RPG systems. Right now, I'm bringing this up because we're starting our 4th story arc, The Deadly Gaze, and that's using the most modern, the Edge of the Empire system. Each series does its own storyline, so feel free to find one that seems the most interesting to you, but they're a Patreon exclusive show. So if you want to get on, support the Patreon, or if you want to are willing to wait a couple months, it should be coming to your normal feed in a couple of months. So keep your eye posted to your news feed there at the UTE Podcast Network. So again, Dice Wars, a UTE role playing production.
All right, and we are back with our second issue of the day, and that is Darth Maul, Black, White, and Red, #1, written by Benjamin Percy, with art from Stefano Raphael, and colors from Raul Angulo. So, Caleb, what happens in this issue?
All right. Darth Sidious sends his apprentice Maul to a prison ship. This ship houses the remnants of a dark side cult called the Final Occultation, who have powerful dark side abilities. fighting through illusions and a priestess of this cult, Maul calls upon the Order of the Dark Side to see him through. But, pardon. In a warp core, Maul finds the last leader of the cult, in a mass of bodies all worshipping the chaos of the Force. Maul overcomes this temptation to join them and crashes the barge into the planet below, leaving to return to his master and the Order of the Force.
There we go. Our first issue of this Black, White, and Red, it is a change up from the Vader one, where each Vader issue was one issue split into three stories, with a Jason Aaron story having a part told across all four issues. Anyways, now we're just having one story per issue. I can't tell if they're supposed to kind of feed into each other. The end of this issue kind of felt like they're like, and on the next adventure, kind of
type. It definitely felt like that. Like, unlike a lot of, or some of the Vader stuff, it almost felt like this one could be considered a type of canon, you know? This definitely feels like something that we might see in a normal Star Wars story, almost.
Oz and I did have this debate internally, because Trev was, like, trying to talk about timeline placement. And for me, personally, I don't care what other people have an opinion on this. It's fine. I don't consider Black and White and Red to be strictly within the canon, timeline. It's a little too out there. But I don't know.
It definitely, as the youth would say, that is cap.
Yeah.
I think whatever. Canon is what you make of it.
Right.
There's nothing in this, or from what I remember, any of the Vader stuff, except maybe the Peach story that, like, is canon-breaking.
The Peach story, I don't even think is canon-breaking. It's just, like, a person having a fever dream.
It's just, like, weird. Yeah, it's, like, how do you classify that? But basically, that's not the point of these series. We talked last week about stories that are consequential versus not. And this story is not consequential to canon. Like, you're not gonna understand Maul's backstory anymore from this, or maybe a little bit about what makes him tick, which the answer is the dark side and anger. But it's just like about cool stories. I literally think they just called someone up, said, hey, do you want to write any story about Darth Maul? You can do whatever you want, like, as long as it fits vaguely. And that's what they did, and that's fine.
Yeah, no, it's just, it's vibing, you know, it's a cool story, it looks sick, we're taking off some of the constraints of what normally might be placed on a Star Wars story. It is a character that has a lot of room to work with. I don't think it's quite as, like, do whatever you want as Visions is, but it's kind of right. Somewhere in the middle ground between, I would say, Visions and, like, your traditional Star Wars comic book.
It definitely, it almost seems like a survival horror sort of game, where it's like, hey, these are the three sections and like the three mini bosses you'll fight throughout the story here, you know?
Yeah. And the first two were easy peasy for him, but this third one, he was crazy.
It was fun. I liked how it was a Vader story, that third scene where we found like that weird, like, you know, force amalgamation of like worshippers there. I think Vader would have like killed every single one of them, but Maul was like, I'm going to get overrun. I'm just going to drop this out of orbit and into the ice planet here.
Right. Also, that's like a lot of confidence that killed that thing. I wouldn't trust him to not survive a ship crash.
Right. I think it's like, I guess, like, within the context of the story, either way, the threat is mostly neutralized. Like, all the followers are at least dead, and like the tech on the ship that was supposed to open this like dark side portal is destroyed. So like effectively, they're stranded on a deserted planet at this point. But
yeah.
Who knows? Maybe we'll come back at the on issue four of this one. I don't know if either of you two are into it. I'm not, definitely not, but I'm getting a lot of Warhammer 40K vibes from this. Either of you familiar with that universe?
I mean, I know what it is, but no, not really.
Yeah, I know basically nothing about it.
Like, the big thing in Warhammer 40K is, like, the way that the Imperium, the the Empire of Man like makes their faster in life jumps is they go for something called the warp, which is like essentially they travel their hyperspace. Essentially, they drop into the hell dimension and then go super fast through that dimension there. So the reason I'm bringing it up is because, as you mentioned, the cult was kind of like, hey, listen, we're rewiring and praying to this to the warp core here, or to the hyperspace. Like, next time we go to hyperspace, we'll actually go to like to our cool like blood red planet dimension thing. And I was getting like, I saw them like, that's interesting. They're definitely pulling a lot of 40K lore here, it seems like.
I did think that whole like convocation-y type thing that they have in the ship kind of reminds me of the Peach Vision story a little bit.
Yeah, and just sort of the kind of body horror esque like design of this
all of them.
Yeah. And he's got almost like the creature from the Labyrinth with the eyeballs in his head.
Oh.
He's got kind of a feel of that in one of the panels.
Right.
It's a wild ride, this one.
Yeah, I had a good time with it. And the art, of course, is fantastic, I think. So far, art has been the highlight, or at least one of the highlights of these Black, White, and Red issues across this and the Vader series, for sure.
Yeah, which, I mean, we were just talking about not knowing how being a colorist works. I think I get it on this one. I'm not going to say it's an easy job. It's maybe harder in a lot of ways, but, like, the way to, you know, make a comic pop using only one color. And it's done very creatively. It's not just coloring in Maul's face. You know, there's a lot of really cool stuff here. And I think we can probably expect that this will be a treasury-sized collection once it's done, just like the Vader one is. So you'll get a lot of page space to soak in that art. And the Vader one's a great-looking book.
It's
if you don't
cool.
like the big book, we've got a regular-sized trade coming out this fall, I think.
Yeah. It's like cool. That. I think it's not the best reading experience, I will say. It's just very large, and it's not, it's a paperback spine, so you're like, I'm afraid of just like bending it in half.
Yeah, it's a weird like thick cover, soft cover.
Yeah, I'd rather have like a hardback on it, to be honest, but it's still cool. Like, it's like, it's nice to be able to like look at it, open it, and like look at a few pages, but again, I would not use it to like read the whole thing.
But I can agree with you. It's not the simplest experience.
And this artist on this, the penciler at least, I know did do a Vader issue we've talked about in the past, but
yeah.
So that was pretty cool. Or sorry, a Vader third of an issue.
Yeah.
It was the one with like the Imperial spy where she takes him, or he takes her to like her homeworld.
Yes. The envoy or something like that.
Yeah.
That was a pretty good one, but I definitely like the longer form story here. Like the Vader like one shots were nice, but I do like the like having the like longer story that we could run out here a little bit more. That felt like a lot more confident, a lot better put together plot that we could see here.
I agree. Yeah. Especially if you think about it in the context of this one, like think about Maul doing this, but literally only taking out one of the alien bad guys. It's like, oh, all right, well, that was it. Cool.
Right.
Which is kind of what we saw, like, when we did the, like, there's the Vader one with the alien reference. That's essentially, we're seeing the same story here, but just more expanded on here.
Right.
Well, another thing I do want to bring up here is, they kept talking about, like, the chaos of the dark side and versus Maul's order here. Like, and I feel like that's a fun dynamic that we haven't seen discussed, at least amongst the dark side users here, of, like, you know, the Sith are very, like, regimented and, you know, bend the Force to their own will. But it looks like these Force users are, like, much more chaotic and, you know, just go with the flow here. I feel like, you know, that's a kind of a fun dynamic that we've never seen before. Like, we can always assume that dark side users would have, you know, come to butting heads with one another, but it's interesting to see like a more like straightforward representation of like, hey, the Sith do not play well with these dark side cults because of this specific reason.
Yeah, that's true. I think it reminds me of like, I feel like this was a like mid 2010s kind of thing where people would like post crappy graphics of like the Sith code with the different prequel trilogy villains.
I don't know exactly
yeah
the type of post you're talking about.
It was like, well, it was like Anakin was passion and like Maul was strength and like Dooku was power or something weird like that.
Yeah.
That kind of, that it gives me that vibe of like, you know, just like the different interpretations of like using the dark side and stuff like that.
The thing it kind of gives me the vibes of is, again, in kind of that mid period time period, there's people doing the those D&D alignment charts, you know, of lawful, good, like, yeah, you know, evil, chaos, that sort of thing. So, you know, it's, it seems to say like there's both the good and bad side of the our light and dark side of the Force, but there's also the more lawful and chaotic side of the Force as well. It was what this artist and the writer here is trying to put in here.
Sure. Cool issue. I'm excited. I will look up quickly.
I was about to say, do we know who's doing the next one here?
I'm sure we do. Yeah, if you give me like literally 2 more seconds. The next one is Mark Russell with art from Carlos Nieto.
Cool. Those are not names I'm familiar with.
Yeah, I'm not either. Mark Russell has done a bunch of Red Sonja stuff.
Oh, okay, right on.
And Flintstone comics.
Oh, wow, yeah, I could see that.
Let's see.
I would love this being Darth Maul in Bedrock.
That'd be pretty sick.
Yabba-dabba-doo.
Some Batman Urban Legends. I have not heard of that run. I don't know. Maybe someone has heard of it. But, yeah, so we'll see. Should be good. Some Harley Quinn. So, should be really good.
Harley Quinn and Red Sonja did black, white, and red versions as well.
Yeah. And then issue 3 is Erica Schultz with Leonard Kirk for the art. That'd be sick.
Hey, he was on Darth Vader, Black, White, and Red, I believe.
And then, oh, the last one's Greg Pak and Luca Pizzari. So there you go. Should be good. You know, Greg Pak, I don't know if he's ever read Roe Vader or not before. Maul. Never mind.
Oh, I thought you were just being cheeky. Yeah.
No. I was, but I was like, oh yeah, he's writing Vader again, but this is not Vader anymore. So
it's not Vader. Maybe it'll be a Vader versus Maul issue.
You never know. That'd be pretty crazy.
Really canon breaking.
After the, they did it in Dark Horse once.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could do that as an Infinities issue, or just like do it and it's a Vision, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, like Vader pops up in the Clone Wars.
Kind of interesting. Because in season 7 of the Clone Wars, when Maul and Ahsoka are talking, he's like, oh, it's happening. Like, basically, he's known that some new apprentice was going to come along. Mm-hmm. So maybe we could see, like, a Vision of that.
Yeah, that'd be cool. But, yeah, good issue. I don't know if there's any other final thoughts on this one. We did have one other issue coming out today, this week. It was Jango Fett number 2. I don't know if you guys read it or not yet.
I did, actually. Yeah. And I liked it a lot, actually. I thought it was like really, it's kind of like a lot, these two issues that we already talked about, it's just a bunch of action because they already did a lot of setup. There's like 3 major action set pieces there, which is cool, but it's also like it didn't really progress. It progressed the plot forward in that it went to a lot of different areas and had a lot of different set piece action moments, but, you know, it hasn't really clarified anything one way or the other.
See, that's my thing, is it did have some action moments. I think it was also a lot of, like, we're going this place, we're meeting this named person, and then this place with this named person. It was, like, a lot of different elements to the story, and, like, although I liked it, I am getting the feeling that I'm kind of tired of 4-issue miniseries. We used to live in a society where Star Wars, the default was like 5 to 6 issues, and I think that just works way better for pacing, as we've now seen with Thrawn Alliances. I think everyone wanted more Son of Staros. Like, you know, I think Mace Windu could have had more time, a little bit more. I mean, Mace Windu's pacing's fine, but it's like, you know,
we
it's
don't
almost
know.
Over.
We only have one more issue, and that the last issue could make or break it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, look at Yoda. Yoda got 10 whole issues. Yeah, there were 3 issue arcs, but, like, that was dope. Let's
do
that.
Yeah, like, think about, like, what, Shattered Empire, I think, was, like, 6?
No, Shattered Empire was 4.
4? Okay.
Yeah, that one. So, like, that's, you know, that's the exception that proves the rule, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. But at least, but if they're not, if you're going to skip one series, like 4 issues, be willing to come back afterwards and like give it more issues if there's still a story to be told there.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Django's a character we will see plenty of going forward. But I have not read the issue yet. I'm excited to. I liked the first one. Maybe it's only four issues, so Ethan Sachs can get freed up to bring bounty hunters back.
That'd be dope. I'd like that, but I don't know. We'll see. But anyways, next week we have really the only issue that's coming out in time for us to record is the Phantom Menace anniversary one shot. So that it's a big issue, so that'll be fun to talk about. And then again, yeah, next week is Free Comic Book Day on Saturday, or I guess, you know, Saturday from when you're hearing this episode. It's Free Comic Book Day. Go get your Young Jedi Adventures and your Star Wars / Darth Vader issue as well. Again, this week we are brought to you by Dice Wars. Check out our Patreon podcast all about Star Wars role-playing. But that'll do it for us this week on the Cosmic Force. Thank you so much for joining us. If you're looking for other great podcasts about Star Wars, nerd culture, and sports, be sure to check out the rest of our lineup in the Youtini Podcast Network. We'd also appreciate it if you left a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to us. If you're already a proud member of the United on Patreon, thank you so much. An extra special thank you to Brian Dooley, Carl Sainer, Michael Fry, and Raymond Bazinski on our High Council, and Captains James T., Ashley Ingalls, Colton Fife, and Chris Crizzo for all their amazing support. Head on over to Discord where we'll continue the conversation about this week's issues in the SW Comics channel. Huge shout out to our editor Kyle for all of his excellent work in getting us to your feet so quickly, and Wes for all the Youtini Network support. Thanks as always to our fantastic listeners. That's it for us this week. May the Force be with you, and we'll see you next time.